Well, the opening line of last week's gospel reading, the baptism of the Lord, said, "And the people were filled with great expectation." I think that applies to you people here today. Lots of you are Sunday morning people. It might be changed to, "And the people were filled with dread expectation." That might make it better. Put your ears down close to your soul and listen hard. What does that mean? I have a book of daily inspirational sayings and pictures with them, inspirational pictures as well. And this was Thursday's saying, "Put your ear down close to your soul and listen hard." That's thought-provoking. What can it mean? Well, after I reflected on it for a while, I determined what I think it does mean. I think it means to search your soul for God's meaning for your life. Who did God make you to be? Today's readings speak to this very question: who did God make you to be? In the second reading, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and Jesus in the gospel are both addressing this question. Paul, in his treatise, names many gifts: the gifts of preaching and teaching and discernment, of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, and others. These gifts are given and manifested by the Holy Spirit of God. And they're given to each of us. Each is given his or her own gift or talent for the benefit and the purpose of building up the community of God, not for any kind of personal benefit. In the gospel, Jesus self-actualizes his gifts as he responds to his mother's request to begin his ministry here on earth. And this is the beginning of his ministry, according to the gospel. These two readings are two of the most powerful and two of the richest in symbolism that we encounter in ordinary time, meaning not Advent or Christmas or Lent or Easter. There's way too much depth in them, in the symbolism, to go into it in any depth in a homily, and I'm not going to try to do that. But anyone who might be inclined to learn more about what they mean and their rich symbolism may well benefit from some in-depth scripture study on these two readings. But what has grabbed hold of my heart today is the glory that can come with the realization that one has found God's plan for his or her life, as Jesus did at Cana. Now, before you go thinking that Jesus always knew his own destiny, be aware that there is something called the Jesus Conference. And in that Jesus Conference, there are many learned theologians who study Jesus' life in depth. One question, which is much debated, is: when did Jesus first understand and realize that he was divine, that he was the Son of God? Was it when he was in the manger, just after he was born? Or was it when he was hanging on the cross and about to die? Or was it somewhere in between? We had a fellow a few years ago when I was at my last post in Paintsville. He and his wife and their whole family were coming through RCIA into the church, and I was on the RCIA team. And at one meeting one night, he was had been a staunch Baptist. That's Baptist territory. And it was quite unusual that he and his wife, who had been such good Baptists, were converting to Catholicism. But he was a man who was a CEO of a communications company and was in a few years recruited to another one. So he was a pretty smart fellow, but he was a country boy. And he also was prone to speak what was on his mind. We were discussing about the Jesus Conference and about the question of when did Jesus know about his divinity. And this fellow said, "You'd think he'd have got a clue when he walked on water." Good point. The glory that can come with the realization that one has found God's plan for his or her life. I know there are many people, I know many people who have realized what God's plan is for their life. Some of them are here in this parish, some of them are other places. So it can happen. It's not all that unusual. I recently read a story. It is a really, I think, really good illustration of this kind of moment. There was a fellow by the name of Arthur who was a counselor at a camp up in New England. It was a camp for people with disabilities. And he came into contact and got to know pretty well a fellow named Ronnie. Ronnie had cerebral palsy, he had autism, he had obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, and he has a severe case of psoriasis. Well, Arthur, the counselor, had come there with a camera in hand because he was a budding filmmaker. And he shot films of things, and he and Ronnie got together and shot films together, skits, etc. Ronnie, partially because of some of his disabilities, had a real, real fascination for actors and movie stars. And he had an extreme fascination for one in particular. The movie star's name was Chad Everett. Some of you may remember him. He played a doctor in a TV show back in the 80s, I think it was. Well, Ronnie idolized Chad Everett, and he wanted to meet him so badly. Arthur arranged to drive Ronnie and four other guys across the country to California. He had tried to contact Chad Everett's agent and hoping he could meet Chad Everett, but he wasn't given a good hope for that. So he got to California, and they enjoyed their time, these five disabled people. And Arthur sent four of them home on the plane, and he and Ronnie set out to try to connect with Chad Everett. Well, they didn't make it. They got close, they got to his house, but then they were told to leave. So they headed back home. When they got back home, Arthur made a movie, a small film, and it included Ronnie talking about his biggest dream in life, to meet Chad Everett. Ronnie told this to everybody he could. That was his biggest dream in life. So they were hoping that Chad Everett might get hold of this film or see the film, so they were distributing it to many people. Lo and behold, one day Arthur got a call from Chad Everett. He said he was willing to meet with Ronnie. "You fly out here and we'll meet." So they flew back out to California, Ronnie and Arthur. Arthur thought it would be good to have it happen on a beach where he could film it. So he filmed the meeting. Ronnie spotted Chad Everett walking across the beach, and he went running to meet him. And Arthur was filming this and hearing the words that they spoke. They connected, they had a good meeting, they enjoyed one another, and it was a success. Ronnie's life's dream, biggest life dream, had been realized. They went back home. Not long after that, Ronnie was diagnosed with leukemia and given 6 months to live. Arthur called Chad Everett and told him about it. Every Sunday after that, for 2 years, not 6 months, but 2 years, until Ronnie died, Chad Everett called and had a conversation with Ronnie. After Ronnie died, there was a fellow that was a friend of Arthur's, told him to come over. He wanted him to look at the film that he had shot of Ronnie meeting Chad Everett. He went over and he started watching the film. And he was listening to it, the sounds of it. He had listened to Chad Everett's words and to Ronnie's words. What he had never heard was the sound of his own heartbeat. His heart was racing. It was beating so hard, you could hear it on the audio part of this film. When Ronnie died, Arthur had wondered if Ronnie had achieved and realized his life dream. Arthur had wondered if he shouldn't pursue his, but now, at this moment, he realized he had achieved his life dream in helping Ronnie get to his. Arthur, at that time, at that moment in time, experienced an epiphany moment. He understood that he had realized God's plan for his life. He experienced a moment of glory. When you've searched and searched, and suddenly the realization hits you that you are, in fact, being who God called you to be, it is a truly glorious moment. And that moment awaits each and every one of us who hasn't already achieved it. Put your ear down close to your soul and listen hard.